my brother to divide the inheritance with me?" Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist the abundance he possesses." And he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God.' This is the word of the Lord."
Well, now it's my pleasure to invite you to stand and join me as we join our voices together in worship this morning. Let's stand and sing to God.
Our God, the Lord, work never fails.
I'll invite you to remain standing if you're able as we continue to worship together. Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire in our every souls. Holy Spirit, come reign us.
Adele read for us earlier our passage from Luke 12. If you want to be reminded of our scripture that's on our minds and our hearts, the parable of the rich fool, that's in the Gospel of Luke, which is the third chapter of the New Testament, or the third book of the New Testament. You can open up your pew Bible if you want to be reminded of what we're studying today. We're in this Rethink Rest sermon series. And what we're doing is we're actually rethinking in these days of summer when we have a little more time. We're thinking about all the places Scripture calls us to be alert or to stay awake to something. We're trying to remind ourselves of some of the warnings of Jesus in our lives. And we're doing that alongside... Also, for the three of you, the three people of you who are paying attention, the best R&B songs from the 90s that apply to our scripture. Remember I was doing that? What was it the first week? Ice Baby, that's right. And last week, MC Hammer Pray, just to make it today. Today, it's obvious. Jesus is telling us to stay alert and not be greedy. And so our song this morning is the Notorious B.I.G.'s Mo Money, Mo Problems. Do you remember? I don't know what they want from me. It's like the more money we come across, the more problems we see. Do you guys remember? The Presbytery executive is here this morning. He came to worship. And when I saw him walk in, I was like, do I scratch that whole part? I don't think I do. Because these are the things in our culture, the things around me when I'm driving in my car, right, that remind us that God is actually speaking to us from all different directions about the same thing all the time. This is one fun way that we are aware that whether we're at the grocery store or whether we're driving in our car or talking to a neighbor or at our desk at work, God is speaking to us the same messages that are in Scripture by the power of the Holy Spirit all around us. Jesus drove this point about staying awake to greed home all over his ministry. And here, with this parable of the rich fool, we face God's constant challenge that to be in right relationship with God, we have to be in right relationship with all of our belongings. all of our stuff. We've heard Jesus talk about this over and over. If we read through any of the Gospels, we know this information in our minds, and it even makes its way, I think, into our hearts and into our practices. Yet money or possessions, our savings accounts, our credit cards, all the stuff of life, more than anything else, can gradually confuse our feelings of security and relationship with God and others. The parable of the rich fool is probably one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture because it's a sneaky parable. On paper, this guy seems to get it right. He would have been a great financial planner, right? He created a business that's lucrative. The yield of his labor is really high, and he now creates a means to store up for a secure future. Any accountant or financial planner would be proud of this guy. He's the pinnacle of financial success. And yet, Jesus calls him a fool. There are two sneaky things that give us insight into what Jesus may have been thinking about this man. First, the whole interaction, we have to remember, the whole reason Jesus gives us this parable is because he was interrupted. This whole interaction is an interruption to what Jesus was doing. Jesus was talking to a group of people, actually, about confession, about the importance of confessing and acknowledging God is Lord, even if you're under duress. When someone, in the middle of him teaching about this, someone in the crowd interrupts Jesus about a financial disagreement with his sibling. Can you imagine this happening? Yes, we can all imagine this happening because we've all been at a class or a meeting when a teacher's talking about a topic only to be interrupted by the person with their own agenda. Do you know what I'm talking about? Right? We do this. Jesus is teaching a whole crowd of people and someone decides now is the time to get Jesus on board with his sibling squabble about money. Note here that the response of Jesus is that Jesus doesn't address his family issue at all. Instead, he goes directly into teaching about money. Because Jesus knows that we are not much different than this guy. Issues of provision and money and security dominate our minds all the time. So Jesus addresses it directly and intentionally. Because God knows that we struggle to pay attention in life when our financial life is unpredictable. Scripture doesn't say whether this family squabble is about a lot of money. We don't know if the interrupter is rich or poor, or even if his demand for part of the inheritance is legal or accurate according to his family wishes. Jesus doesn't care. He doesn't address any of those things. What Jesus cares about is that financial stress can be so overwhelming, it can take over everything. The second sneaky thing that we can note here isn't what the rich fool says, but what the rich fool doesn't say. Pay attention, because this is actually the crux of the warning of Jesus for us this morning. Every statement in the rich man's lucrative plan is centered on himself. What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. I will do this. I will put down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, eat, drink, and be merry. This fool, this man's entire frame on wealth is unexamined, self-focused, and void of any mention of God. What about all the workers who helped him get to where he is today? What about thanking God for the abundance he has been given? What about acknowledging that no matter what success he has or storage that he prepares, he can never have enough to have control over his life? What about something, anything in his financial perspective that isn't about himself? On paper, this guy gets it right. Lift up one layer of his intentions, and it seems Jesus is teaching us to examine not our financial portfolio, but how much power we give our financial life. The opportunity to think about money this opportunity for Jesus comes through the lens of a family squabble, which seems right to me because nothing is more stressful than a family argument about money or belongings. People go crazy in families over money. Talk to any estate or divorce attorney and they will tell you how ugly families can get over money, right? This family focus invitation is an invitation to think about the issue behind the issue. If we drill down just a little bit into what power money holds in any of our lives, we find an indicator of something else. Our finances are like a laboratory to investigate our deeper issues or struggles in life and our relationship with God. We hold on to our money, afraid of using it for abundant joy or generosity. What's that about? We're oblivious to anyone else's needs for things and focus solely on our own needs with our finances. What does that tell you? We squander all that we have irresponsibly and don't care about God's call to be thoughtful stewards. What does that point to in our story? We are angry about what we don't have, frustrated that life isn't more lucrative. What does that point to? Jesus invites us to consider that our financial issues may lead us deeper into our relationship with God by uncovering our fears or insecurities or our issues, because we can never have enough to feel content. No matter how much we accumulate, we're always vulnerable to life's challenges in health or relationship or tragedy or joy. You would think the vulnerable places of life would call forth an auto response, right? To be more generous and rely on God so our hearts and minds could be at rest. But instead, we tend to double down on self-reliance. Why do we do that? Well, I think it all starts with two siblings fighting over their parents' love. This argument wasn't about their being enough inheritance to go around. The argument couldn't have been over money alone. It had to be about something deeper. Was there enough love, enough security, enough provision to not care what the financial arrangement turned out to be? If all it takes for us to have our security dismantled is the loss of inheritance, our security is in the wrong place. If the loss of stuff dismantles our lives, our security is in the wrong thing. This week, I struggled all week to come up with an analogy for our sermon, and it occurred to me yesterday that it might be because there aren't any great examples. We live as if having enough money will make us feel secure, finally able to breathe, finally able to live on easy street without so many problems. But I don't know anyone for which that has actually happened. No one gets out of being human by having enough money. Through the rich fool and all throughout Luke's gospel, if you continue to read, we learn that generosity begins with orienting ourselves toward God and being generous, and in that security, we are free. If you want to examine whether your heart is secure in God, ask yourself this question. What is the thing? If you went home today and it was broken or gone or destroyed, what is the thing that would throw your life into disarray? That might be a good place to start exploring. I've preached a lot of sermons on stewardship, and I've learned a lot in preaching about how our relationship with money has a clear connection to our relationship with God. I've learned that we never lose when erring on the side of generosity. I've learned poverty doesn't equal insecurity or lack of abundance. I've learned that holding on tight and storing up leads to a deeper sense of loneliness in the end. And I've learned that being too shrewd and not enjoying the abundance God gives to us and extending that toward others isn't faithful either. Here's what the rich fool is teaching us now. Our hearts are in jeopardy of insecurity and wasted energy if we cling tightly to our own provision. We have community, we have love, we have grace and Jesus and more security in God than we need. So it's time to align our hearts with that which truly keeps us securely fastened to hope and love. It's time to not examine our financial portfolio or financial decisions to give us peace, but to examine our hearts and to be at peace knowing there is enough and God is our security. Let's pray together. Loving and faithful God, we are so grateful for the gift of this community, for our broader community, for the gift of your provision of love and grace. Help us to be in right relationship with our stuff, that in you, Jesus, we would put all of our security and hope, we would put all of our freedom and joy, and that you would remind us as we leave this place, we are secure in the love and the grace that you provide. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.